From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. TV and film writers are on strike. These are the folks who write the punchlines for your late-night host and even write in the pratfalls for your sitcoms. It's the Guild's first strike in 20 years. The conflict centers around royalties from internet and wireless business and from DVD sales. To talk about this and more, we have Larry Wilmore. He's an Emmy Award-winning writer who also sits on the Writers Guild Negotiating Committee. Larry is currently the senior black correspondent on The Daily Show. His writing credits include The Bernie Mac Show, The Office, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and In Living Color. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Farai.
So you wear so many different hats. Give us some examples of what hats that you wear are and are not included under this, because you're on air and off air. What would be affected in your life?
Well, right now, for instance, I just sold a show to HBO that I would be writing and acting in, and I can't develop it right now because of the strike. So until the strike is resolved, I won't be able to take any meetings about it. I can't write at home on it. I'm not allowed to do any work on it or even meet with them. We haven't even talked about the story for it yet, so I can't move forward on it at all until the strike is resolved. In regards to The Daily Show, I usually go to New York about twice a month and record some segments, do a couple live, and I can't even do that right now because the show has to shut down because almost everything we do in that show is topical. And, you know, you certainly need the writers. I also write my own bits, too. So I can't really do much right now, to be honest with you.
So things that we think might be spontaneous or off the cuff, because writers are working on them,
right,
they also are included, including the late-night talk shows and
things
like that.
That's absolutely correct, you know. In fact, that's what gives those shows that spontaneity, is when the performer has that material and they can, you know, sometimes they can ad-lib from there or whatever, but they have that comfort of having that material under them. And you have shows like Jay Leno and David Letterman, like Letterman's Top 10 List, and, you know, all of Leno's stuff. I think they're both shutting down. They can't really do anything, you know.
Television has so many different aspects to it. There's the issue of who actually writes the material, and
right,
African Americans haven't been highly represented in that. The question of who watches, and Black Americans have been in some ways overrepresented in that. And then also the question of who gets paid for what.
Right.
We got a statement from the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. They didn't make themselves available to come on, and they said, "We made an attempt at meeting them," meaning you guys, "in a number of their key areas, including internet streaming and jurisdiction and new media. Ultimately, the Guild was unwilling to compromise on most of their major demands. It is unfortunate that they chose to take this irresponsible action." What's actually on the table when we talk about DVD, new media, internet streaming? What's the beef about between these two guilds?
When the companies say that, I mean, it's very disingenuous for them to say that. I mean, they had about 75 rollbacks on the table, you know, so it's like someone, you know, stealing your car and then giving you back your car radio and saying, "Hey, come on, we've made a move. You know, why aren't you making a move?" It's like, "But you took our car. What are you talking about?" I mean, the big issues are really the present and the future. And TV is changing. The way shows are being watched is changing. And there are a lot of uncertainties in the future. There are many shows that don't show reruns anymore, and that's Your writers and actors make a lot of money off of what are known as residuals, and that's payment for work that you've already done that's rerun. And there's not a lot of jurisdiction in the internet world for that sort of thing right now. And many times the companies take a show, they don't rerun it, but they'll show it on the internet, for instance. And they'll have ad money come in for that show, but then the writers aren't getting paid. So that's money that's directly leaving a writer. That's not even like we're asking for something extra. That's money that's already in your pocket that is now leaving. And that's a major bone of contention because, let's say, for 10 years from now, let's say it's even more drastic. Let's say TV barely exists anymore and everybody just downloads TV shows when they want to. You know, it could go that way. You never know. If we aren't getting paid for that, a whole middle class of writers would leave the business. In fact, John Bowman called residual payments is one of the cheapest form of research and development that this town could have. You take a writer like Mark Cherry, who wrote on shows like Golden Girls and some other shows. He went about 8 or 9 years without working on a show for us. He completely existed on residual checks. At the end of that period, he wrote Desperate Housewives, which has become a multi-million, almost billion-dollar enterprise for ABC. So that was a great thing for him to be able to stay in the business, living off residual checks. If you take that away from writers, you're going to have a lot of people who are going to be forced to leave the business.
Larry, let me put another spin on it, which is content. Television is constantly and highly critiqued for whether or not it represents American diversity well, whether it represents American culture in its fullness, whether it represents stereotypes. When you look at something like this strike, it is an industry-based strike, but the same way we cover issues in the auto industry, we also right. cover the television industry. When it comes down to people sitting in their homes facing their television sets, will this have any effect, pro or con, on the quality of what people see and how much television reflects what America is and who Americans are?
That's a great question. You never know what the effects of a strike are going to be. Certainly, some of the effects will be that people will see more what are called unscripted shows. And right now, television, especially in dramas, I think is doing a pretty good job of being more diverse. Shows like Grey's Anatomy and Lost, and in fact, Grey's Anatomy is run by an African-American woman who created it. And those shows are going to be off the air, and we don't know where they're going to replace them once their current new episodes run out, you know. And I think, I don't know if most people are going to be affected by it in the short term, but what's going to happen are the companies are going to spend a lot of money plugging these holes, and a lot of money is going to be lost. For instance, the strike in 1988 cost the companies about $500 million of losses, that six-month strike. That was in 1988 dollars. But if they had agreed to the contract, it probably would have been like $50 million. Or you know, it was the amount that they could have paid to avoid those losses was minuscule, you know. And you never know how the TV landscape is going to change because of strikes. Many times they have long-lasting changes for a short amount of time. You take a show like Cops that was put on in 1988 because of the strike, it's still in the air. And that show was put on just to plug some holes, you know. So certainly TV could change a lot. And what's dangerous is that some people, you know, you take some minority writers or people who are right on the fringes of the business, these people could be pushed out of the business during a strike. You never know.
Well, Larry, thanks a lot.
Oh, you're welcome. It's always good talking to you.
Larry Wilmore, Emmy Award-winning writer, also sits on the Writers Guild Negotiating Committee.